Welcome to Tech Talk from RNIB Connect Radio, the RNIB's technology show for blind and partially sighted people. See technology differently.
Oh, hello and welcome to another hour of Tech Talk. It's me, Stephen Scott, back with you today. I've got Robin Christofferson with me here. Hello, Robin.
Hello.
And I've got Tim Schwartz as well. Hello, Tim.
Hello, Stephen. Hello, Robin.
Oh. Second last one, guys. This is sad. This is weird, isn't it? I honestly never thought I'd ever be in a position where I'd be saying, well, that's that. That's the end of that then. I can't believe it. Can't believe it. This is all it my is. Doing. You know, I did cause this, didn't I? This is my own fault.
It is, well, sort of is. I guess if we're going to put blame anywhere, we'll put it on you, yes.
Well, that makes perfect sense, frankly. Look, we've got lots to talk about today, of course. Or do we? It's not a lot of news around, I'll be honest. It's a bit low on the news front. Because, you know, this isn't really the time of year for events to happen. All the big events have taken place. And I was doing my search around to see what people are talking about. There's lots of interesting stuff. Of course, you know, I thought we could maybe talk a little bit about my trip to the Apple store the other day. You know, people are interested in these kind of things. I could mention it. Would you be interested in this?
There goes the hour.
I think so, particularly as you're so enamored with the results. So, yeah.
Well, yeah, exactly. I have to say my red iPhone cover that I bought is just brilliant. I'm loving it. I'm loving the MagSafe. I love the MagSafe part of it. I actually did buy that. It's the thing I bought.
I'm not surprised.
It wasn't the only thing I bought, granted.
They could have had an Apple beer koozie in product red and you would have bought it.
I'd buy anything in product red. I love it.
I know you would.
I love the color. I love the color. And, you know, I love that the money goes to good cause as well. That's a great thing. But, you know, truthfully, I just love the color.
I love it when someone who's colorblind says they love the color. That's just fantastic.
Are we not going to ask him what a beer koozie is?
I was wondering. I didn't want to be rude, to be honest. I kind of thought, should I know the answer to this?
Now, is that because you don't drink beer or because you don't put it in a koozie? Because I know you don't really drink beer. I don't know about Robin, but I know Stephen, you don't.
I don't drink beer, no. I'm trying to think of the last time or only time I drank beer was in Canada. And there was a beer called Blonde. I remember having it of an evening. I was going to say of a morning. Very Scottish of me.
Very Scottish of you, yes.
But no, it was in the evening and I remember trying, actually quite nice, but it was the only time I'd ever tried a beer. I'm not into whatever passes for beer in this country. Like a cider. Don't mind a cider.
Motor oil?
Well, in this country, it's Tennent's. So, you know, if you've ever heard of that, then, you know, yes. you get the sense. You can smell it before you drink it.
Right. Well, to answer Robin's question, a beer koozie is like a flimsy, I don't even like foam almost material that you put on a beer bottle or beer can or even like a soda pop can that gives it some grip and keeps it cool.
Oh.
Yes. They're usually given away for free at events. What's that, Robin?
I was thinking bubbles if it was a beer koozie, like a jacuzzi.
A beer jacuzzi. That's a whole totally different thing there, Lord of the Manor. Wow.
I was thinking more of that thing that Homer Simpson used to wear, you know, the hat with the beer cans you put in it.
Oh, the
and
beer
then the
hat,
two
yeah.
straws that came out from either side. I loved that. I think they did sell them here for a while.
I'll say the Scottish probably invented that too.
Well, I think we probably did. We invented everything, as you well know. And that would not be surprising if we invented that as well. Mm. But yeah, I did go to the Apple store and I wasn't drunk. I did not buy drunk, but I did take in a pile of stuff for trade-in, which I've got to say, if you've got some old kit lying around. Or brand new, just lying in the box, then you can take it back. However, I learned a couple of interesting lessons while I was in there. I will impart my knowledge with you now for your own benefit. So if you have a Mac Mini and you want to trade it in, you can't take it into the store. I don't know why this is. I guess it'd be the same for an iMac, although they're much bigger anyway, so you probably wouldn't want to carry that into a store. And obviously, if you've got a Mac Pro, you've got way too much money. You don't care about trade-ins. But, yeah, you can't take in a Mac Mini. You have to do that online. What happens is they send you a box and, you know, essentially you wait a couple of days, I guess, and then the money gets sent to you via email. There's a gift card receipt they send you on email. But if it's an iPad, it's an iPhone, even a MacBook, they'll happily take that for trade-in. It seems a bit odd they don't take the Mac Mini, but I did try. Didn't want to know. So I did trade in a few bits. and
a few bits.
A couple of bits. I don't really want to get into it because, to be honest, it's pretty embarrassing. So the bits I took in amassed an amount of money, which was nice. And then I thought, no, do I want a MacBook Pro?
Then you thought you wanted a MacBook Pro?
Well,
really?
Everybody has been on me on Twitter, and you guys have been the same, saying, oh, of course you bought a MacBook Pro. Of course you're going to buy a MacBook Pro. And I'm like, I didn't intend to buy one.
Sure.
I didn't intend to go and buy one. I did intend to go and look at them. And what happened, the mistake that was made was, and this is really stretching the word mistake out considerably, is that they asked me where I'd like to sit in the store whilst someone came to me. Because when you go into the store now, they tend to bring someone to you. I guess it's just, you know, COVID and, you know, it's just to create a better shopping experience. I don't know, but whatever. And I said, tell you what, put me at the new MacBook Pros. So he did. He left me there. And it was a good 10, 15 minutes. And of course, by that time, I had fallen in love. I'd spent some time with the 14-inch MacBook Pro. Yeah. Then the 16-inch Pro, lovely. And I know you're thinking, well, why the 16-inch? And that's what I ended up going for. Why the 16-inch? It's not the screen. The screen actually doesn't do very much, if anything, for me at all. On a laptop, it's just pointless. You know, I've got enough vision to see something going on the screen, but not any way of knowing what it actually is.
And to be honest, at this point, you're trying to train yourself to not use it as much, aren't you? At this point,
exactly.
Of your vision.
Exactly. And actually, to be honest, the laptop helps that because I can't see it. So really, I mean, obviously I could use magnification, but what I've done deliberately on this is I haven't turned it on. So I don't have the desire to just, you know, try and cheat my way through it. Because it doesn't serve me well at all. You know, it seems good at the time, but you know, you end up, your eyes are sore and you think this was pointless, and actually just get used to doing it with voiceover. And weirdly, when you do it, you feel so much better. It was the same with JAWS when I was learning that. Just turn the screen off. I do want to get into this discussion later, by the way, about this whole learning with the screen off. It's caused a bit of controversy online, but we'll get to that a bit later. But yeah, so I opted for the 16-inch because of this sound. The sound of this thing is incredible. And the speakers, obviously, they're bigger in the 16-inch. I'd say double the size. And they just sound incredible. The bass response on them is good. But it's a nice, it's a pleasant sound. It's not too heavy. It's not too bassy. It's just right. And, you know, when you're doing calls on there, when you're doing, you know, also using voiceover, the sound is so good. Voiceover sounds pleasant. Really, really good. So, yeah, I have to say.
So if you used Alex on your MacBook Pro, you'd really hear that heavy breathing.
You'd really get the heavy breathing. No. Yeah. And, you know, Robin's going to be very pleased because I jumped back to Ava. Ava's back is my voice. Oh, yeah, Ava. She's brilliant. She's so good. And just the right tone, just the right tone at that level. I think there's something wrong with my hearing, the mid-range or high-range, I don't know what it is, but something's going funny because there are just certain voices that just, they're really either, it's like, you know, Tom, I think Tom's voice is brilliant, but he's just too low, and then his other voices are just too high, whereas Ava just sits in that nice medium without being too irritating.
Well, if your low end is going away, then you're not going to be able to hear yourself. That'll be a bit disturbing.
That is disturbing.
We've been getting emails asking for that for years. Oh, wait.
Since updating to Monterey, I've found that the Ava engine has been updated as well. It's even crisper, and she's not pronouncing things the same way. I've had to add a whole bunch of exceptions to the pronunciation dictionary because she's suddenly saying camera instead of camera and things like that.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah, weird. So I've got a feeling Vocalizer have updated their engines. I don't know.
I haven't noticed that. But in saying that, you know, I'm using it on a new machine, so I'm kind of hearing it differently for the first time, if you know what I mean. So it all sounds good to me. Couple of irritations, though. Well, I think this is more software-based, to be honest. So I decided to go with Edge as my browser of choice.
Woohoo!
Yeah, I thought you'd be pleased at this, Tim. Not on the phone, not yet. I'll get into the why in a minute. But on the Mac side of things, definitely. I much prefer using Edge. I just think it's a better browser, to be honest.
It really has become that, yep.
The problem with a Mac and a web browser is it's like trying to grab a kangaroo. Because basically...
I've often thought that.
No, I hope you know what I mean by this. No animals were harmed.
Jumping around all over the place.
Exactly. It's bouncing around all over the place.
In Safari, anyway, with VO. I don't use Chrome that often, but I have to from time to time because, you know, you're joining a meeting where you join using Safari and it complains and says you need Chrome. So, yeah, I haven't had as much experience with Chrome. But you're absolutely right. The focus is all over the place. And
well, I'm going to make you both happy because not only did I go with Edge, but I ditched Google in favor of DuckDuckGo.
Good.
Steven.
I have one niggle with DuckDuckGo, though, which is that unless I'm missing something, it doesn't tell you the date of the article.
I don't care.
Well, you end up listening for 5 minutes and then realizing it was in 2011. Oh, okay.
Again, the problem, and I think part of the reason the focus, this is the thing, it's like you're trying to tame the beast a little bit here because the kangaroo is bouncing around all over the shop. And what you're trying to do is say, could you just bounce around inside the bit, inside your you know, play zone? whatever a kangaroo lives in. I don't know. What do I know about kangaroos? But here's the thing. What I do know is that you're right, the focus is terrible. You go into Safari, you've got a new web browser, you're back at the minimize button again, you've got to come back, you've got to, you know, VO left a couple of times to get back to the web content, and then if it's lucky, it'll stay in there again. It's just a nightmare. I don't enjoy Safari at all. But yeah. Edge, you don't have that problem. And what I do love is if you do end up outside, F6 gets you back in. So very quickly, you can jump back in or move around, and actually move around the screen. So, you know, move around to bookmarks or to whatever else, to the address bar, the toolbar, whatever. You just F6 around. So I'm finding that a lot easier to manage.
And I believe Control-E puts you into the search/web domain bar. So that works as well. But yeah, well, F6 is so nice.
That's right. On a PC, on a Mac, it's Command-L, weirdly.
Oh, yeah, Command-L. Right.
In Windows, I really love Edge. I think it's absolutely brilliant.
Yeah.
It's got the Chromium engine, so it, you know, gives you the same results as Chrome does, which is, I think, the kind of number one thing that designers design to. But without the fans, without the massive kind of turbo fan effect that Chrome has whenever you open it up. Your whole computer goes into
overdrive. What is that? That's ridiculous.
Yeah. Chrome is trying to, I don't know, track everything that you're doing. I don't know. But with JAWS anyway, and I'm hoping it's the same with other screen readers, you could have 18 things open. You could, you know, flick between them. But you're guaranteed every time you come back to that web page, your cursor is in exactly the same place.
Yeah.
You know, it's on the exact same letter or button or whatever it might be. Rock solid. I haven't found that in... I need to try Edge on the Mac side as well, I think. Because if that is the case, then that would be brilliant.
I think the thing for me is I'm trying to get to a point where I don't need Windows. And it's not a deliberate thing. It's not like I just want Windows out of my life. I don't. I like using Windows. I've still got a Windows PC. I still would use the Windows PC for certain things, but those things are going away or are so specific. So, for example, I still use Cartswell with my scanner. You know, there's not a Mac version of that I'm aware of. So, you know, that's going to be on the PC probably until the PC's dead. You know, there are still certain other programs and applications I prefer to use. I mean, when I'm printing letters, not that I do it that often, but when I do it, I have this little Brother label printer. And it does work on the Mac, but the software works much better and is more accessible on the PC side. So I'd rather have it on the PC. So a couple of things I did, and this is really what this has been all about. Not deliberately, but I've just thought, I don't want to have the two bottles into the shower solution. I want one bottle doing the lot, right? In this case, I want the MacBook doing everything. And I've started thinking about, I mentioned last week about Vienna RSS, which is my go-to news app now, because everything just goes in there, super easy, super accessible, and, you know, perfect for what I need. I like the way you can integrate it with other services as well. So I use Pocket to store all my stories, you know, things I want to go back to. I can just share it straight from there. I can send it via email, via keystroke. Yeah, absolutely amazing. And I haven't even touched Shortcuts yet, because shortcuts on the Mac, although on the iPhone side, as you know, Tim, I was never a big fan. I used to always ridicule you when you bring up shortcuts on the phone. Who cares about this? But on the Mac,
very useful.
On the Mac, I think it might be more useful. I don't know. I like the fact that I read today that you can get a shortcuts menu on the Mac.
Yep.
So it will just sort of bring all your shortcuts and let you see them all, whatever they are. I haven't got any yet, but you know, when I finally get around to it, maybe I will. But yeah, so looking at the other things I do, I mean, obviously email. I'm avoiding Outlook, if I'm honest. The new version of Outlook that was created by Microsoft, there is actually a new version, which if you don't have, you may find you have. There's a button that lets you switch it on the Mac to the new version, the new style of Outlook. Way more accessible, far less verbose, a much cleaner interface, and again, really, really accessible. But I'll be honest, I just like the Mail app. It just does it for me. I'm fine with that. It does everything I need it to do. And I find I'm very productive with that app. So, yeah, and Robin taught me something pretty cool the other day. If you go to, because I was thinking, how do you quickly jump between mailboxes? Really had a problem with this. And Robin, you told me about favorites, where you add a mailbox or any mailbox, frankly, whether it be the inbox or the sent or the drafts, whatever you want to choose, you can make that into a favorite just by going, just navigating to it. And then performing a right click, which is Shift V, V O Shift M, and then you can add it to favorites. And then you can, in my case, it's like 3 and 4. So I just hold down Command and then go between 3 and 4. And that takes me to the different.
What's your 1 and 2 then?
I think there are other ones in there, but the 3 okay. and 4 are the ones I need. So yeah, I there's loads of things like this. I'm just finding little things along the way. The thing about Edge, though, I just want to quickly mention on Edge. The Edge thing I'm not so keen on is that for some reason, makes no sense to me, but for some reason you cannot use iCloud's keychain on Edge.
Because Edge wants you to use theirs.
Well, because yeah, but you can use it on
Windows.
That's
actually new. Well, in a recent update, at least I know on my phone, I don't know about Windows because I haven't really been playing with it a lot recently, but I know on my phone, on one of the most recent updates for Edge, they actually made it very clear in the notes that they are pushing their own password saving. And it seemed to me in the wording, the implication at least was that we're getting away from letting you use keychain. Because yeah, you're right. Up till now, you could use keychain, at least I know on the iPhone, and now they're really pushing their own. So that might be a separation on both. And if it is, that is unfortunate. I mean, I don't mind saving my passwords to Microsoft and doing it that way since I'm using Edge everywhere. But I also do love using Apple Keychain.
Mm-hmm. I love it. But I think I'm going to have to think about another option, some third-party option, maybe
LastPass.
Yeah. That might be one, because I think I need something. Again, there's so many issues when it comes to keychains because, you know, you want to have something that is essentially available everywhere and on every browser, because like you say, Robin, sometimes you get sent to a website and, you know, you're sitting on the website and they say, sign in. Oh, what's this, you know, in a different browser, you know, and you can't get access to your Safari keychain and you've got to go into your phone and you've got to look for the passwords and then you've got to, it's a pain in the neck. So, yeah, having one solution might solve all that. I think we need to get to a point where we've got to sort this password nonsense out. We've got to get past passwords at some point. Please, at some point. Because we've got Face ID, we've got Touch ID. If they're reliable, they're reliable, right? If they're security, then it's security. If I've got a key for my door, I don't need to have a secondary key somewhere in my door to make it work. So it either works or it doesn't, is my thinking. So we've got to get past passwords. And if for security purposes, we seem to have plenty of options. So why can't we use them?
I mean, look at personal banking. If you do it on a web page, then it'll, you know, ask for your username. It'll ask you for your first, second, and fifth letter of your password or your PIN or whatever it might be.
Child's first meal. Nonsense.
But on mobile, it's your thumb or your face.
Yeah.
So that's absolutely brilliant. I know this isn't a solution or it's not an elegant solution to having all your info everywhere, but I'm a really strong advocate of saving all of your information manually in a folder. So I have got, I don't know, 126 text files in a folder that have all the info I need about everything that I could ever want, you know, need to do, from national insurance to account number and sort code to, you know, my children's bits and bobs, everything. And if you use OneDrive, so if you've got a Microsoft account, then you get a free OneDrive. Is it a terabyte free?
Yeah.
And in there with the personal OneDrive, you have, you've probably noticed this thing called Personal Vault. And that is an encrypted folder. So if you are a bit concerned about Microsoft having your passwords, etc., that you were talking about a moment ago, then nobody has access to this except you. And it's cross-platform. You know, wherever you've got OneDrive, you can have access to that Personal Vault. You do need to have an authenticator app. I use the Microsoft Authenticator. The Google Authenticator app will work as well. And that's your thumb again. So whenever you open that thing, it says something pops up on your phone. You put your thumb on it or your face, and then that vault opens up and you've got access to all of that. So I know it's a manual method, but, you know, how many times have we had to provide a bit of information for someone? And if you can't put your hands on it, then it might as well not be anywhere. Mm. And sometimes that's really important to do that, you know, within a certain time. So that's what I do, and keep that updated with everything as anything changes. Personal Vault, really good.
Yeah, I must say it does sound a bit old school, but actually I quite like that. Yeah. I kind of wish I was organized
doing like an encrypted thumb drive that you then put in like a metal lockbox that you put under the floor in your bedroom, you know, under a carpet with a, you know.
But that's quite a blind friendly way of doing it, isn't it? That's quite a blind friendly way of doing things.
Well, it's very tactile, yes.
And it's just a folder, so you can whack loads of stuff in there. Mm. You know, if you've got a PDF about, I don't know, it's a manual for a particular thing or something. I mean, I just chuck everything in there.
Give me ideas now, Robin. I'm gonna clean up my life. Well, I can't remember that woman, the name of the woman who did that show on Netflix. I can't remember her name. But yeah, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to follow her advice and put text notes everywhere. I don't think that's like really Maria what she suggested, if I'm honest. Okay, so basically, I am in love with the MacBook Pro. That's what it's taken me 20 minutes to get to that point to say that. I am in love with it. I think it's brilliant. Now, I will say this. This is a lot heavier and a lot bigger than I thought it was going to be. You know, when I picked it up in the store, I didn't think too much of it. But when I got it home, I don't know why, but I've got it here, and I'm not going to do the drop test with this one.
You just read my mind. I was just actually about to say, please, for the love of God, do not do a keyboard drop test with it.
We will not do that on this, I'm afraid. No. But you know, it is. I don't need to. I mean, I can do this. That's all you need, right? And that's, you can get the sense of the weight of this thing. It is.
There's a lot of good hardware in there, because you were telling us on WhatsApp with the specs of what you got. This is a robust laptop. The specs were pretty good for it being, what, the low to mid-end spec line?
So this is, it's so funny, right? Because I get home, and of course, the first question everyone asks is, well, what one did you get? So I'm like, right, okay, I got, and I was like, I actually don't know. I don't know what one I bought. I just said, give me the one in the middle. And that's what they gave me. So, because that was kind of, well, basically, that's the only one they had in stock. So I thought, well, we'll just go with that. But it's a 10-core CPU. It is, and obviously it's got the M1. This is the M1 Pro, isn't it? It's not the M1 Max that's in this. So the processor is the M1 Pro. It's 10-core, 16-core GPU, whatever that means, and 16 gig RAM.
It's for that wonderful screen that you turned off.
I can't see. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And we've just turned off anyway. 16 gigabyte RAM and 1 terabyte solid state. So pretty beefy. And of course, it's got all the ports in there as well. Do you know, I will say one thing. The bottom of it, well, see what you think, right? I'm just tapping it with my fingers, my nails. It's a bit, I don't know, it's a bit hollow in there, right?
That sounds a little
maybe
bit...
Maybe this is this right to repair thing.
Well, I don't know, but I mean, it just, it's not, I don't know, it's just something about
the
it.
It's top, it sounds, yeah, it sounds much lesser quality. I don't want to say quality, but
yeah, no, you're right.
You're tapping the top, it sounded hard and robust, and that bottom is a little echoey or a little plasticky.
I think I know why. I think because at the sides of this and at the back, is there one at the front? No, there's not. There's gaps for air, obviously, to get through. Yep. So there's air gaps here. So I wonder if that contributes to that Maybe that slight hollow feeling that it has.
With it sitting on a desk, it's for heat purposes. So that
so it can dissipate the heat out the sides and out the back. So, although in fairness, I've been using this. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm not using it the way that most people who have these will be using it. But, you know, it's not really, it's doing nothing. It's just sitting there. This computer is going to feel like it's going to spend the rest of its life sitting on a deck chair in the sunshine. It's just going, I can just relax now for the rest of my life because Steven's here and he's going to do nothing but a Word doc on it.
That's you after next week's episode, right? Right?
In theory, yes.
lots of audio
editing.
We'll
get to that sometime. Anyway.
Well, that's right. Audio editing. Final Cut, I'm going to get into with this as well. I'm following this fantastic YouTube channel called Taylor's Tech Talks. I just changed it, actually, to Tay's Tech Talks. And Taylor does a fantastic job of going through, totally blind as well, going through all the kind of different apps and things that they use. But interestingly, Final Cut Pro came up, and nobody I have seen online has done anything on Final Cut from a blind user's perspective. A couple of people done it, but not a huge amount. So if you're on YouTube, check out Tay's Tech Talks. It's T-A-Y-S, Tay's Tech Talks. And subscribe, because honestly, it's a great resource and one which I'm going to be really looking forward to getting into. A friend of mine who works at the BBC, who shall remain nameless, said to me, don't bother with any other audio editor. Just use Final Cut. And I'm thinking, what? Really?
Wow.
But apparently, audio editing on it's a breeze as well, which, when you think about it, that's exactly how I'm editing video, isn't it? I'm just listening to it. So it's no different, really, to editing audio. So I might be able to combine two jobs into one and be equally bad at both. But there we go. So that's where we are. The MacBook Pro 16-inch, beautiful machine. I mean, this is the problem in some ways, because ultimately, so I took back the MacBook Air. I had the MacBook Air. Tim Dixon asked me this on Twitter. He said, you know, did you take the MacBook Air back as well? I did. And I wasn't going to get rid of the MacBook Air until I had time with this. But the one thing that sold it to me, if I'm being brutally honest, it's not the power. It's not the amazing capability that it has. It's that I'm a big guy and I need a big machine to put my hands on. That's pretty much it. Because the MacBook Air just feels a little bit like I can't get my hands close enough together to sit them on the palm rest, right? Whereas this thing is big. It can just sit there and I could sit with my big machine and type away on this amazing magic keyboard and try not to touch the tripod, obviously.
You know, honestly, I get that, because being a much bigger guy as far as, I don't know about girth necessarily, we won't go there, but with the size and...
What a weird way to measure these things, but yeah, well,
it's true. Yeah, right, but like as Sean Preece is, you know, always talk about, you know, I'm as big as Godzilla or, you know, Sasquatch or something, but I have extraordinarily long fingers and big hands, and when I use any laptop computer, because the laptop keyboard being so condensed,
yes,
it's trickier for me because my hands are so big, and so I like a nice fleshed out keyboard that's got some space and there's divisions between everything. Thing and you know, there's that separation. I do like that, but so yeah, this sounds really nice, Stephen. It's very impressive, especially after I know we won't go through the litany, but when you told us on WhatsApp all the things that you took in, how much you got, and I'm like, wow, like he cleared out everything for this. But good. It sounds like a good swap.
So my dad has now decided he wants an iMac. And
okay.
I've got an iMac.
You could help him out there,
yeah. Yeah, exactly. I've got an iMac. Exactly. And he's got a MacBook Air. He says, I don't want the MacBook Air anymore, so I've now got a MacBook Air again. It's just ridiculous. Oh, I'm like, here we go again. So I actually get into the point where I'm kind of worried about going into the Apple store, because I think they're thinking, hey, what's this guy up to? Is he just finding these things in the street and just bringing
he's
them
selling
in?
Selling them out of the back of a truck.
To a money laundering empire.
Right.
And it's just like, no, everybody keeps buying Apple products in my home. But yeah, so I'll end up with that. I'm going to get rid of that, though, because I don't need two of them. I don't need them. And to be honest, as much as I love the MacBook Air, and I do, it's just, I prefer this. I think this is just, it feels, I love the feeling of this thing. It's solid. It's a beast of a machine. I will say one thing. That was the other thing I was going to mention about irritations that are software-based, because hardware-wise, there's nothing to fault. But software-wise, Safari has changed its take on things. It used to be busy was the classic retort from Safari whenever you went on to something and it didn't like it, or it was thinking about it or whatever else. Now it just says Safari not responding. So okay, fine. Straight
do
to the point.
With Edge?
You don't get any of that with Edge.
Ooh.
No, Edge says still nothing. Loading.
You got the still loading, yeah. I've never had that, but no, I've not had anything
slow
me down. I've
only had it that one time. Apparently my internet was sleepy that day because I finally got it one time, but usually my internet's good enough I don't get it. But yeah, it'll just say still loading.
I think it's a software thing. I don't think it's an internet-based thing. I think the computer's thinking about it.
I don't know if because all web pages aren't created equal, are they? Some of them are absolute beasts.
Well, that's very true.
If you go to The Verge, you know,
well,
I think the fan will spin up. Even if you've got a computer which hasn't got a fan, it'll go and find one. you know, so yeah, kind of depends on the web page as well. But still, yeah, I would have thought with the M1, busy would be a thing of the past.
No, it's
is
not.
Is it the M1 Max you've got?
No, this is the Pro. Well, I think it's the Pro. I'm pretty sure it's the Pro.
Okay.
I don't have to add an extra 1,000 for that.
Okay. But still.
But yeah, so I've got the other thing was they said to me in the store, do you want to get, you know, one with a bigger drive? And I was thinking about this. I was thinking maybe I should get like a 2 or a 4 terabyte SSD. And then I've kind of got it because I really don't plan to replace this anytime soon. Although, you know what I'm like. But no, I really don't plan to replace this anytime soon. But this is a great machine. And I was thinking, should I get more? But then I remembered at home, I had this little, it's a tiny little hard drive. It's called an Envoy Pro from OWC, a 1 terabyte solid state. It is incredibly fast at transfer, and it's tiny. And this thing, apparently, one of the things about it I was reading in the review is that you could drive a steamroller over it, and it would be okay. Now, wow. That's quite good for blind people, because, you know, it's not going to be a steamroller, but it is going to be me with my chair.
You might sit on it on the couch.
Yeah, exactly. Or I'll sit on it, exactly. And then, you know, it's got to survive that. So
I'll go carry it off and...
But it's
tiny.
It's so small. I mean, I'd say it's about half the size of a pack of cards in terms of size. It is just, I mean, literally that small. 1 terabyte, USB-C. Well, actually, I say USB-C. It's actually Thunderbolt. So that's where you get the speed from. But yeah, it's really nice. And that obviously solves the storage issue.
Yeah, I would always... solid state. Oh, go ahead, Robin.
No, go on, you first.
You two are so excited by all this news. You just love when I go and buy stuff, don't you? It's just
we do. No, I was just going to say, I've got I believe it's a SanDisk external SSD. I think it's one that you had previously, Stephen.
That's brilliant.
And you'd recommended to me, and it's so good, and it's so nice. So yeah, those external drives really do kind of give you the idea of, okay, do I need to spend all this extra, you know, money on you know, the extra space in the computer, or am I going to be good just with my external? Because I thought the same thing, my next computer that I'll buy, and I'm like, no, I've got a lot of good external space. It works really well. It's fast. I also use Dropbox religiously. So I've got plenty of other space. As long as I've got a good solid, you know, an SSD for my main hard drive and the few things that need to be actually loaded on it, all my files can be off PC and be fine. So no, I think that's a good choice.
I would always recommend that people tick that box on a Mac and on your iPhone, which says optimize for storage. So anything that you don't access very often will get offloaded to the cloud in iCloud. As long as you've got a half decent, you know, Wi-Fi connection or, you know, 4G, for example, then those files will come down pretty quick. So, you know, I think that would mean that you're not having to, because it would automatically offload. It doesn't keep everything off in the cloud. It just intelligently offloads stuff as it needs to. So I think that's really good. And if, as Tim was saying, you know, you've got Dropbox, you can set that so that things aren't stored locally, just the kind of placeholders for those files. Ditto with OneDrive as well. So, you know, you could have terabytes of storage that all the files are kind of there. They look like they're there, but they just come down as they're needed. Obviously, the 5 gigs that comes with the standard iCloud won't go very far. So
no.
I think it's like, is it $3.99 or $4.99 a month for the 2 terabyte one? It doesn't break the bank.
Did I read right this week that there was a driver, an audio driver, I think it was a Realtek audio driver, that came out and it was bigger than the install file for, I think, Windows 7 or XP or something. Was that right? Did I read that right?
Oh my gosh, I didn't see that.
It was like 600 odd meg for this driver. And they said that the size of, I think it was Windows XP. I could be wrong. Maybe it was 95 or something. But I think it was XP. And it was like 601 megabytes. And they're like, this audio driver's bigger than the entire operating system at the time.
Yikes. Wow.
Which, you know, again, that's, I mean, so for me, storage isn't really about the keeping stuff on the drive. It's just having enough headroom for, I'm terrible for not deleting my downloads folder. That's one thing I'm really bad at. And I'm downloading lots of big files, if it's, you know, lots of different stuff. Audio files, I mean, although they're not huge, once you've converted them down to MP3, you know, initially they are. So when we record this show, I need to make sure I've got enough room to record, you know, an hour of recording, and then save that and then create, you know, a broadcast version and then the podcast version that goes up onto Audioboom and so on. So lots of different versions, and you've got to obviously keep that stuff. Now, once it's done, it goes off into OneDrive or Dropbox, and that's it. It's done. But it's having some headroom to be able to do that. And 512, I found, is just enough. But 1 terabyte will be more than enough, and I'll just need to be, you know, quite strict with myself on what I keep on the drive. I do use Dropbox, though, and I've got to say I would not survive without Dropbox, I don't think.
No. Okay, I'm on a mission. Yeah. To try and persuade Stephen to switch over from WAV to FLAC. An hour's worth of WAV is like 600 megabytes. It's like 130 for a FLAC, and they're both lossless, so...
Well, you might get your wish, and funny you say that, actually. You've just brought me on to my next thing, because I did buy something else this week. It just arrived today, and I was holding off on this to see if there was any deals with Black Friday coming up, and I don't know if there was, but there was certainly a few quid off it where I got it from. You can probably guess. And... it is a new microphone. Now, I love my microphones, right? And I've got a lot of different types of microphones for what we do and what I do. And the truth be told, this one I've been holding off on because I haven't needed it. Because it's not for the house, it's for outside. Now, you can use it in the house if you want, right? But it's really for outside. It's for, and it's actually for recording interviews with other people. Now, Tim, you've talked about this before. Maybe not on the show, but we've talked about this privately. Where you were, I think, I can't remember what it was, but you had something that you could essentially have two lavalier microphones, these little microphones that clip on to, you know, your shirt or your tie or whatever, these tiny little microphones. And you had one, I think, was it wired? You had two of them?
It was wired.
Linked back.
There was two. They linked back. It actually had where I could do a headphone monitoring and had a little volume control. And then that one... Specifically that one, I've got two. I've got one that, you know, I can plug into, well, really anything. This one, I'm trying to remember, did it have a regular headphone jack or was it a lightning port? Actually, now that I say that, it was a regular headphone jack, but then I got the converter to plug it into a lightning on my iPhone so that I could do recordings out in the field. And a recording that I did a few years ago with somebody from the Carnival Cruise Line, I had spoken to their like outreach, you know, PR person, and did an interview about their accessibility that they implement on their cruise ships and their website, etc. And I remember when I sent the file to you for the use of it at that time on another show somewhere, you said, what microphone did you use? This is fantastic. This was just a cheap lavalier two-way mic. Wow. You know, so yeah, I've been impressed with what those can do. So you've got something similar now, Stephen?
Well, this is the wireless version.
Ooh.
So let me tell you about this. So this is, it's in its little case. I actually bought the case as well because I didn't realize it actually came with a little... It's like this little bag thing, but, you know, Velcro. But it's really rubbish, to be honest. I mean, I'll probably put something in it, but not this. Because you've got lots of bits that come with this. So essentially, I'll open this up. You have in here a dual mic recording kit. Now, this can be used for anything. I actually have the original version of this, which is a single. So I could use this myself if I was recording... to camera, for example, or I was recording to the iPhone and I wanted to use a wireless microphone to do that, or even record someone else. If I wanted to, you know, grab someone talking about something, I could just say, here, put this on. Instead of having a lavalier microphone, so the little wire that you have, which connects onto your shirt, the actual unit itself is the microphone. So you have these little cubes that would fit into your palm of your hand. On the back, it's got a little clip, and that clip, as I'm going to just now, just clips onto my shirt. Of course, you can't hear the clip shut when it's on the clothes, but there you are. So that's it on. It's a tiny little thing. I mean, literally palm of your hand. It would fit inside the palm of your hand. And there's two of those, one for me, one for whoever I'm interviewing. And then there's the same size of unit as a little base station that you connect these to. Now, the great thing is, and the reason I bring this up is because even though the accessibility is probably not at the forefront of these, and it's not perfect by any stretch, the one good thing is that it's pretty much a turn on and go. There's no connection, there's no setup, there's nothing with these. You literally turn them on and that's it. It's working. It could, it would be nice actually if they had little kind of either a beep or something to let you know it'd come on. But the benefit is if you've got some vision, there is a little light, quite a bright light actually, that shines off each little transmitter. And the same actually, there's a screen actually on the receiver, but there's no way I can see that. But, you know, the good thing is that if you have got some vision, you would be able to see that.
You could use light detector mode in
that's true. That's a very good point. Yeah, actually, you could do that. So that would let you know if it was on or not. But really, it's either on or it's off. There's no middle ground here. And the power button's quite cool. So what you do is you just, at the top of it, you feel the little bump where the power button is. You hold that in for maybe 3 or 4 seconds, and that's it on. And that's the case for all three units. So base station, two little transmitters. And what's interesting about these transmitters is you, as I say, it is actually the microphone as well. So you don't have to have those little lavalier microphones. But you do have a port if you want to plug one in. So if you've got a lavalier microphone that you really enjoy, that you prefer using, you can just, you know, put it on, connect it up to this, and then use the clip to attach to your belt or put it in your pocket. So you have options with this. You can even plug in, there's some amazing little bits of kit you can buy that go with it. You can even plug in other microphones. Cameras, for example, use these, where you can get these camera microphones you can plug straight into this, and it means wirelessly your audio is transmitting. You can even buy a microphone that isn't a microphone, but it's shaped like one, and you just put this little unit in it, and then you put the muff on the top, and then it looks like a microphone. So cool. Nice. So if you were doing something to a camera, you can actually just be holding a microphone like a wireless mic, and that's what it is. But truthfully, the brains of it is this little cube. So really, really smart. Now, it connects up... the base station connects either in a couple of different ways. You've got a 3.5 to 3.5 mil jack if you wanted to connect it to a computer, for example. That would be a one-way transmission. You can get adapters that will allow you to connect it to an iPhone. You can also connect it as USB-C out, so you can connect USB to USB-C. USB-C to USB-C for... connecting to an iPad. If you had an iPad mini, for example, you wanted to hook up to that, you could do that. But what I did today, and I did this deliberately because I wanted to test this before we came on, is I connected that onto my MacBook. It would be the same on Windows. But what happens is when you connect that little base station to the Mac or to Windows, it appears as an audio interface. So you can select it digitally. You can select it as an input source. Not quite sure about output yet. I'm not quite sure how that works because I cannot find, unless I'm missing it, I don't think there's a headphone jack on this, but I could be wrong. There is something there, but I can't quite figure out what it is. I've not had enough time to play with it. We'll get Ira on the case later.
To the Mac to show up as a source?
Just USB-C to USB-C.
Yeah. Okay.
It actually comes with a USB-C to USB-A, so old style, old school to new school, but it's... But, you know, I've got an adapter, so you can just plug an adapter in. If you've got a USB-C to USB-C, you probably have one lying around somewhere. Just hook it up. It charges it at the same time, and it acts as an audio interface. So that's pretty cool.
So the recording of these interviews is done on a machine of some kind, a phone, or a... It's not done on the box, is it?
Well, I don't know is the answer, because I've heard... I did read about these having the capability to record on board, but I don't know how that would work, because there doesn't seem to be anywhere you would... be able to save it to. So I don't know how that works. I don't think that's actually true. I need to spend a bit more time with it, but I just wanted to mention it because what I did was when I hooked it up onto the Mac, I used voice memos and thought it won't work. I bet it won't work because it won't, oftentimes voice memos tends to stick to the main mic, in this case, the internal mic. Nope, it picked it up, it recognized it, it used it to record, and the sound recording is a beautiful. So I'm very impressed. £250 for these, so it's not cheap.
Wow, definitely not cheap.
It's not cheap, but you do get a lot for your money when you think about it. I love the fact that you can hook these up in different ways. As I'm starting to get back out there again, and, you know, future projects and all the rest. We're going to be doing a lot on the road. So we want to be able to have these kind of kits available. So I want something like this that I can just chuck in a bag, go where I need to go, and do an interview. And the great thing is, you know, I can hook this up directly to my phone. Don't have to hook up to the mic. But I mean, I could if I want. You know, I've got the options.
Sure.
If I was sitting down somewhere, if I was at Site Village, for example, and I wanted to record in a couple of interviews, then that's fine. I can sit down, just do a couple of interviews. But it you know, it takes away all the wires. It takes away all the hassle. Yeah. Also, you know what it's like with lavalier mics? I mean, you've got to be very careful. I remember being at an event and someone came up to me and said, I'm going to mic you up for this event. And, you know, there's hands going everywhere. And you're thinking, this isn't right. This is wrong. Whereas with these, you just say, here you go. Here's the unit. Clip it on wherever you like. You take care of it. So I quite like that. And you even get little windbreakers as well. If you're going to be out in the outside and you're going to be recording with them, it'll cut back on a lot of the noise you might get from the microphone. So I just wanted to mention it because it's really cool.
Very nice. Yeah, I like
it. We'll maybe do some recording and I can play it in next week. You can hear what it actually sounds like. Cool. So there you go. Is that enough? Is that enough for me to buy?
Wow.
Next week. Yeah. I know, next week, the last show.
The last show is coming, yeah.
Yeah. It's weird, isn't it? So we're going to have Sean Priest with us next week. Seemed appropriate to get Sean on.
I think so.
So, yeah. We got so many emails that have come in from so many people around the world. And it is literally around the world. It's incredible. Everyone seems to be using the same word, sad. Sad. That's the word I get from everybody. It's sad news. And it, you know, it is sad. We've been doing this for 10 years. We're going to be going on to new things, and I will talk about more of that next week.
Is it fair to say that it's maybe not the end of the book, it's just the closing of one chapter?
You know, the thing for me, Tim, if I'm honest, is that the sad bit for me is that I am really going to miss being able to talk to people through our Freeview channel here at RNIB.
Yep. Because
I know lots of people will probably find us on podcasts going forward, and like I say, we'll talk about that next week, but it's so difficult if you don't have access to that, or you don't have the access to that. And I know a lot of you out there listening to this are people who just tuned in, and you know, maybe you just are not that into your tech necessarily. You just enjoy hearing us rabble on about stuff, hear about, you know, how much money I've wasted this month, and you know how many arguments I'm going to have with my wife over how much I've spent this week. You know, and all that's great. And, you know, I think some people just enjoy listening to that. And, you know, that's the bit I'm sad about, to be honest, is that I'm going to miss that the most. I'm going to miss talking to you the most.
It's a very special and unique connection that we've been able to have in all the times that I've been on, then off, then on again on the show since episode 187, I went back and found out a long, long time ago. You know,
That's a long time ago.
But it is a very unique type of way to get to people and have them hear us and interact with us. But like you say, there will be other alternatives, and, you know, it's a good time for people to, if you're not into listening to podcasts yet, get into it, get an Amazon Echo or a some sort of smart home device. And you'll still be our friend. We'll still be there.
But yeah, as I mean, Stephen said, someone said to me, you know, it sounds like you're kind of creeping around the houses and this. And the truth be told, I do want to tell you what we're up to and our plans, but we're putting things together at the moment. And I think it would be unfair for us to start sending you places that maybe aren't there or whatever. So, you know, I don't want to do that at the moment. I'd rather tell you about it when we know more. And, you know, I'm not going to be a stranger to RNIB at all. Because we're going to be doing lots of cool stuff with RNIB in the future as well. And maybe even here on RNIB Connect Radio, maybe they'll let me come back. Maybe they'll let me come back and talk about some technology or talk about what we do.
But you've been sacked, Stephen.
Of course. Yes, that's right. I've been sacked. I sacked myself. I was so sick of myself. I sacked myself. Anyway. Yeah, it's been an interesting one. Listen, I was going to get to a feature this week, which we didn't get to, but I do want you to maybe check it out online. There is a Braille book swap group that has been set up, and you should check it out online. It's quite incredible, actually, how these things come about so quickly after RNIB made the decision to move away from And this was kind of partly COVID related, partly down to the fact that there were warehouses full of Braille books that were just not being used. RNIB took the very smart decision to say, look, we're going to create these books when you need them, so you can get Braille books on demand. So if you want the book, you can have it, but, you know, instead of just having warehouses full of these things, you know, just get it when you need it. Makes total sense to me. But obviously, once those books are created and being gone out to people, what happens then, right? I mean, do you just keep hold of it? Well, you can if you want, I guess. But if you've read the book and you think, well, I've read it, well, it's like any book, isn't it? You might think to yourself, I could pass this to a friend or someone else who might benefit from this or someone else who might want to read this book. So that's what the Braille Book Swap group is all about. So check it out online.
Might think, check I need online. This shelf back again.
Yeah, for something else. I need that corner of my room or the room, depending on the book, back again. But I just wanted to pick up on one more thing before we go. And this became a contentious issue online. I don't know why. And I don't know the source of the outrage, because, of course, everything online is outrage machine gone wild. But I was interested in your thoughts on this. Learning to use a screen reader. Should you do it where you turn the screen off? So assuming you've got some vision left and you're learning to use a screen reader, should you turn the screen off or should you leave the screen on? This became, believe it or not, this became contentious this week online. And I just wanted you guys to weigh in on it. Robin?
Well, for me, the main thing is that you don't use the mouse. So those keystrokes, all those hotkeys that you'll have to get to grips with sooner or later, not just for JAWS or NVDA, say, but to drive the operating system as well, they're going to need to be learned sooner or later. So that's the real barrier, I think, to becoming an effective screen reader user, if you're not relinquishing the mouse. So that would be the top one for me. Yeah, I'm erring towards turning the screen off unless you want to use your eyes, because if the screen's on and you are using your eyes, then that will retard the process and potentially damage your eyes. You know, we've all heard about where people have overused their eyes and paid the price. So yeah, Tim?
Yeah, there's many times where when I was in that transition, my eyes would get so tired. I know, Stephen, you've been going through that here very recently, trying to still use what you've got left, and it just makes your eyes so tired more quickly. And so I agree, first and foremost, with Robin's first point that ditching the mouse is a good beginning, almost necessary, because you really do want to focus on learning the keystrokes, learning what you're doing with the keyboard as an interface, and knowing how to do things without point and click, without right click on a physical mouse or scrolling with a mouse, you know, wheel or something. You really want to make sure to train yourself how to do that, because if you eventually don't have enough vision or don't use a screen, you're not going to be able to just point and click. So I think that is even more important than ditching the screen. But yes, when I first learned JAWS, as I famously have told on the show and other places, that was the first thing the trainer said was, you know, give me the mouse and turn off the screen. And I'm like, well, we're going to do what? Well, okay. But I still have some vision. He's like, I don't care. Turn off the screen. And it was very beneficial. Now, that being said, I was seeing maybe half a word on the screen magnified at one time at that point. And so it was really destructive to the work I was doing at the time, trying to do that. It was making my progress and, you know, slower and making my eyes more tired. So I think it does depend on your level of vision and what you are seeing on the screen, if you still can rely on some things visually. But ultimately, I think it'd be best and easier to go without a screen.
So I'm tempted to agree with that. I think you both make interesting points. Without the screen, without the mouse, I think that's a perfect takeaway, to be honest. Yep. Because, you know, I know people, and I'm not entirely sure where the outrage came from, that I have to say this, because I think there's a difference between someone, or maybe there isn't, but I think there might be a difference between learning it as a sighted person, because, you know, sometimes these conversations come up around training. So, you know, if you're someone who is sighted, who will be delivering training to someone who's blind, is it advantageous for you to not know what's going on the screen? And I think that might be where this argument came from, because that might be a different argument. The one I saw referred to, well, if you're learning to use a screen reader and you don't know what's happening on screen, as in you're not sort of following what the screen reader is doing, you won't understand it. That sounds like a learning issue, So, you know, you would, as a trainer, it might be helpful to know how that works and how that visually represents. But as a blind person, well, it's not relevant, frankly.
I mean, I think there's a point there that visual references, even if you can't see or have low vision or no vision, knowing what is kind of going on screen, even if you're just told whether you've seen it or not, I think can be beneficial. You know, having had vision, having used windows for decades before, you know, having lost enough vision than to need JAWS, I have a reference. I know what the start button looks like and the program files, you know, expansion, you know, all your programs are there. And I know what all that looks like. So in my mind, as I'm using the keyboard, I can almost, you know, visualize what it's doing without seeing it. And I have that visual reference. Now, is that necessary to learning a screen reader? Probably not. But for me, somebody who unfortunately used to be a visual learner, which is ironic. Yeah, I was a visual learner. So it does help me to have my mind's eye to remember in general what it looks like. I know it's probably much different now to a certain degree, but a lot of similarities with Windows still from what I could see. So I do have that visual frame of reference, but I don't think it's necessary, but it can be helpful.
Yeah, I must admit my learning is usually photographic memory, but unfortunately it's run out of film. That's kind of where I'm at the moment.
Well done.
Yeah, that's kind of it for me. Listen, it's been really enjoyable doing this this week, and we will, of course, be back for the final one next week. Sean Priest joining us for that. You've been sending us some lovely emails. I've been holding them back deliberately for the show, so we can do the end of the show, as we're calling it. So you can join us for that if you like. Next week. I'm sure you will. I'm sure you're going to join. If you've come this far.
I hope so. I really do hope people will, because I think it's going to be a lot of fun. You know, you, me, Robin, and Sean, I think are going to have a blast on that last, end of the show. And yeah, the emails have been great. You haven't shared too many of them with us. They're going to be a surprise. But I have been getting more. I'm sure Robin has too, where we've been getting them into our personal mailboxes. And people have just been so wonderful and so kind. So yeah definitely. I echo what you say. Definitely tune in. Check us out and hear what may be next.
Yeah, well, what will be next, actually? Yes, what will be next? Lots of exciting stuff to come. We'll talk about that. In the meantime, though, if you do want to give us a message for next week and have it included in the final show, it is your last chance to do this. Email techtalk@rnib.org.uk. We will, of course, be back next week for the final show of the year. And maybe not the end of Tech Talk. We'll talk about that next week. Maybe some news on the horizon there, but at least for us, at least it will be. So we'll catch you then. Rob and Tim, thanks, guys.
Thank you all.
Thank you very much.